I will call Dr. Candace Lee myself and say, give Clark Lee a 10-year extension. That's the biggest win you've ever had and probably the biggest win you're ever going to get.
Ever.
Give that man an extension.
At least my time on this
planet. And Jerry Kill, too. He should
probably. Yeah, get them all.
I have not called Dr. Lee yet, but I'm working on it. Because I am a man of my word, and I will tell her to give him a 10-year extension.
Why are you calling Clark's dad? Clark Lee's dad, the doctor.
Okay, you're right, but I met Dr. Candace Lee.
Oh, look at that. I know. Yeah,
that's good.
Mike, you look, man, you will a big stick around here. If you need to start taking advantage of that and calling people and doing some things.
Yeah, well, you're like Tony Soprano. All because I have people to tell me what to do, even though I already know what I'm doing.
You're like Tony Soprano.
Yeah, that's me.
Just, who are you going to whack? First person, who is it going to be? Plaster?
No. No, plaster's
Willie? Who are you going to get, man?
No, you know, I don't know. Plus, why would I tell you?
Exactly right, man. That it's me.
Head on a swivel. No, it's not you.
Or Brett Kern.
I got a wine bottle trick I'll show you later, Chase.
It's not Brett. Wait, what?
Excuse me?
It's a wine bottle trick. It's like a gesture thing at the dinner table. I'll tell you another day.
Somebody's been to a gentleman's club.
I guess. I don't know. Let's bring in Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who is on the line with us. Brett, what a wild Saturday night in Nashville it was.
Pretty crazy. I'm more impressed that they got that goalpost. According to Google Maps, 2.6 miles and roughly a 200-foot climb as you descend down Broadway towards the Cumberland. So that was that's pretty impressive. That's quite the haul to lug those orange yellow posts around. So pretty impressive.
What's the most memorable upset win you were ever a part of in your career, whether it was college or pro?
Oh man, I think 2017 going to Arrowhead in that first playoff game.
That's what I
think we were expected
to
win that one. And then I also think going to Baltimore when they were the one seed in 2019. Obviously beating the Patriots the week before, but I think the way we beat Baltimore, I feel like that was not expected. And so I think those two games probably the biggest. Biggest upsets I've been a part of.
What about the in Arrowhead, I think it was a regular season game when it was like zero, and was it Suckup had to hit the 50-yarder to win the game?
Yeah, I'm still falling out from that game. That was cold. I think that one was big just because, that extended our opportunity, as far as trying to get to the playoff. Fortunately, the next week, went to Jacksonville, lost. I think that's the game that Marcus broke his foot and kind of ended that. But that was definitely, at the time, that was definitely a huge game. And I think, for this game this weekend for Vanderbilt, that's got to be one of the biggest upsets. I think, if you're looking at the Titans and Music City Miracle, I think a caller referenced earlier, the Titans were 13-3 that year. So I think to be in that situation – probably wasn't expected, and then for the miracle to happen was obviously really special. And then for the Preds run, you kind of felt the hype. You go up to Chicago, in that series you sweep them, right? And so you're kind of building this momentum, this anticipation of, hey, can this happen? Then you go beat the Blues, right? And you're like, okay, here we are in the Western Conference Finals, and you pretty much, Anaheim was a tough series, physical series, but you win, right? So there's this, with the playoffs, there's this anticipation. Vandy Saturday night, I don't think there's many people that would have thought Vanderbilt would have pulled it off. So it was more of that surprise element that I think with the other two wasn't necessarily there. The miracle was obviously a surprise with the actual play, but the expectations going in to the playoffs were probably a lot different compared to Vanderbilt, playing in Alabama. Right. And so I think for the pure excitement, joy, surprise probably for a lot of people, I don't know if anything really tops that.
Absolutely. Talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter. All right, Brett, you go back to 2017. You guys beat the Chiefs. Now you got to go, first road win for the Titans in decades. Then you got to go to New England and play the Patriots and Tom Brady that year. What was Monday like at the facility? How quickly did Malarkey and staff put that out of y'all's mind to focus on what's ahead?
Pretty quickly. I just remember, after the game, and a lot of times with most games, it's especially road trips, even home games, you know, it's, hey, let's enjoy this victory. 24-hour rule, I think that's pretty common amongst most teams. You know, hey, take 24 hours, enjoy this. Just think back about, you know, the good plays, even things that we can improve upon, but just enjoy that feeling of victory. And so for Kansas City, you know, it's 24 hours. You got the plane ride back. You know, you're celebrating with guys on the plane and you come home to the family. Everybody's excited. And, you know, I remember, you know, after Kansas City, my wife and, you know, our oldest, my son, were at the game. So to be able to celebrate, you know, in the parking lot with them was really, really special. And so, yeah, 24-hour rule. And I think the same thing applies to Vandy because there's so much emotion and celebrating and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, before you know it, you get to, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're exhausted, right? But you still have another game. You know, you got to go up to Lexington in a game that I think they could win, right? I think they've set expectations to where, hey, you know what, we're for real. We got a dog at quarterback, like, who's just a baller. You know, and it's coming off, you know, being at New Mexico State in 10-win seasons. Like, the guy just, he wants to win, right? And he's brought that excitement in a leadership position at Vanderbilt. And so, yeah, so now there comes expectations of, hey, you beat the number one team in the country. A lot of people don't think you can do it. So then how are you going to respond, right? And so it's got to be quick. It's probably harder for college kids because there is so much excitement. You're celebrating with, you know, your classmates and you got the vibes on campus, you know, walking around campus. But it has to be short because, you know, the SEC schedule is, you know, a gauntlet. You know, and I know they have goals. But in order to do that, you got to enjoy it for 24 hours, have a short memory, and get ready to play.
They might have goals, but not goalposts. Brett Kearns with us this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show. All right, I'm so glad you're on this morning, Brett, because I was thinking about you yesterday. During the 49ers-Cardinals game, the kicker gets injured, the punter's got to do the kicking, and they have no holder. And they're trying to practice on the sidelines, and they can't get it down. It was just chaos and affected the way Shanahan called the game. When you were with the Titans, did you guys have a backup holder?
Yes. So it depends. You know, it depends on kind of the coach. It depends on the coach. Depends on the coordinator. Kind of how often you want to rep it. You know, I've been, you know, with when I had Aukerman for those years. I mean, he always had people, you know, come over, hey, just get some holds before practice. Hey, get 5 or 10 holds, get this, you know, get that, right? And you're kind of always repping it. Some teams probably don't even, they never think that's going to happen, and that's just kind of a lack of preparation. But, yeah, I mean, we always, a couple times, you know, I'd go out there and, you know, hit an extra point. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, you just got to be ready because you never know when something's going to happen, when someone's going to get hurt. And then the next thing you know, if you can't go out there and make a short field goal, extra points a little bit harder, you know, 38-yard field goal is that's not a chippy compared to the old extra point days when I didn't mind if I had to go in there and do that. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes you have your backup quarterback, you know, Tannehill repped it. I remember Logan Woodside would rep it all the time. You know, sometimes you have a receiver that can come in and do it depending. But we always repped it just because you never know what happens. And obviously it affected the game and you never want that to happen.
Did you feel bad for the Bengals holder? Because, I mean, it just went right through his hands.
That's tough. Yeah, I tell you what, that ball looked slicker than snot. That thing was bright red. He probably had the dye of that football still on his hands. And so, for me, you know, that's why, you know, for the most part, I always wore a glove on my left hand. Just because when you're catching that football and you're bringing it down, right, I'm trying to explain this, but the pressure from your right hand trying to put it down on the spot, doing that puts a lot on your left. And so if your left hand's not in the right position or it is slick, right, that ball will just, you know, it'll just ramp right off that left hand and it'll do what it did for the Bengals game. So I always wore a glove on that left hand to prevent that ball from sliding. That'd probably be my recommendation to him to do that. But, that's just unfortunate. Probably could have gotten away with that if it was a shorter field goal, you know, because Evan did a really good job of staying with it and trying to kick it. But yeah, that's unfortunate. But from 54 yards, everything has to be pretty much spot on perfect to make that field goal.
So how long do you have from snap to hold to turn the laces to where the kicker wants it? Like, what is that, like a second? How long is that?
Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, you want to be 1.25, 1.3 seconds your operation total. And so There's some guys that are a little bit longer. You know, they can get into the 1-3-5s, which, you know, it, depending on who's rushing on the outside, you know, that can kind of become an issue just timing-wise. But, yeah, I mean, you want to stay around 1.25 to 1.3 is probably perfect. You know, and obviously if the laces aren't perfect, you have – not a lot of time to get that thing around to 12 o'clock. Because like I said, I mean, the heaviest part of the football are the laces. And so, you know, if those laces are out, we use it like a clock, right? So 12 o'clock is perfect. 6 o'clock is, that's a no-no, right? And you can see that on TV clearly that the laces are back. And sometimes it just means the ball won't go as far, right? Because you're not hitting the sweet spot on the panels. And so you're hitting the laces instead. So that might take off. It could take off 5 to 10 yards if you're hitting just the laces. But it shouldn't affect it. You know, turning left or right. But if the laces are pointing towards 9 o'clock on the clock, there's a good chance that ball's going to hook left. You know, if the laces are at the holder 3 o'clock, there's a good chance that thing's going to cut a little bit more. So just little details, you know, as far as where those laces are, you know, really affects, especially the longer you go back and the farther that ball is traveling in the air, you know, it can really affect the kick, whether you make it or not.
Yeah, very, very interesting for sure. Real quick, before we let you go, the Titans will come back from the bye week. How much emphasis needs to be on punt team, because they've had a rough time this year?
Yeah, I think you just need to go back, you know, technique-wise, right? I think, you know, the stuff that they've given up, you know, Gibby not sitting in Chicago, you know, Chestnut, you know, he fell for that up and under and really set outside instead of protecting his inside. And then, obviously, to allow, you know, that tip punt in Miami with Clayton Campbell, you know, your guards are young, right? You know, I think it was Harrell and Gibby, you know, you got a rookie in there and, you know, second year guy. And so, you know, depending, it looked like he came from that right gap, that right A gap. And so my guess is Morgan Cox probably set left. Maybe Gibby just didn't get over there in time to put, you know, and Calais. I mean, that's why as the Dolphins, you're rushing that, right? You get a guy that's 6'7", 6'8". Coming flying up that A gap, and you know, that's a hard thing. You know, Stonehouse could have hit that ball straight up in the air, and I still think he would have tipped it, right? Because he's so tall. Yeah, I think, you know, teams are going to start going after the young guys on that punt team, I think. And there's some young guys, and you have a lot of vets, but, you know, they're going to come after the young guys that are really just trying to figure out, you know, technique and all that kind of stuff. And so I think over the bye week, you just break down, you know, Colt. And the crew just break down technique. You know, you get the boards out, you work on your setting, you know, you're helping your punch hand, all that kind of stuff. So they can really solidify that wall back there for Stoney to let him go out there and do the best that he can.
For sure. Brett, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next week, hopefully after another win for the Titans.
Yeah, I'm glad you came to work today. You're still not celebrating. So, you know, that was all those Vandy fans out there. That's awesome, and enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
All right. See you.